So for the past few weeks, we have been looking at this topic that I called, What Really Matters in This Life? What Really Matters in This Life? And one of the main points one of the things I was saying at the very beginning is to say that, look, I believe that in this life, once in a while, or as often as we can, we should take a pause, look at our lives and ask ourselves the question, all these things that I am doing, going to work, going to school, doing this, trying to achieve X, trying to achieve Y, which are part of my normal daily life, all these things that I am doing, all my aspirations, all the choices that I am making now, what really matters in the context of eternity? When I weigh all these things in the context of eternity. So what am I saying? Am I saying we should just leave our daily responsibilities alone and just say, well, I just want to focus on God? Not exactly. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that there are times that, not due to any fault of ours, but there are times that life can just, the tide of life can carry you along with it itself and move you in whatever direction it wants to move you in. Where if you and I are not careful, we lose focus sometimes, or we might lose focus, or we might just, our view of Christ, our relationship with Christ could become very, it could go to the back burner, if I can use that word. Where, yes, we come to church, yes, we read our Bibles, yes, we pray, but it's just one of those afterthought things. I didn't pray this morning, God. Am I saying that we're going to be able to pray every day how we want to? Maybe not, but that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is ensuring that we don't put Christ in the back burner of our lives, and that we realize that life can push you and I in different directions, but we must always recalibrate and take back our life from life and move it in the direction that it should go, not in the direction that the circumstances want us to go. Do you understand? So it's a very conscious effort that we have to make. So that's why I said, look, let's ask ourselves the questions. What really matters in this life all the time, so that we can refocus and ensure that, you know, life just doesn't take us in whatever direction it has, which might not be the direction that God wants you to go or the place that God wants you to be. So having said all that, today I'm looking at under this, what really matters in this life. We're going to look at something I've called carrying on in difficult times. Carrying on in difficult times. Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean is that you and I have to master as believers how to deal and how to live in difficult times. Because you can be guaranteed that as long as you are in this world, Jesus says something in John chapter 16, verse 33. He says, I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So Jesus himself said, in this world, you could have trouble. You may have trouble. Maybe if you live in a particular part of the world, you might not have trouble. No, he didn't say that. He said emphatically, in this world, you and I will have trouble. But he didn't leave it there. He says, however, take heart, I have overcome the world. So the question to us now is this. If Jesus said we will have trouble, which he did, which we can read very clearly, how do we deal with trouble when it comes? How do we deal with trouble so that it doesn't overwhelm us, so that it doesn't take away our passion for Christ, so that we don't find ourselves in a place where we're waking up every day, and we're just passing the time because we have lost hope. How do we do it? How do I do it? How do you do it? So bearing that in mind, I want us to focus on three scriptures this morning, and I'll now tell us a story from the Bible to help us understand the context. So the first scripture that I want to read, which is my favorite scripture, is this. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." I'll focus on three scriptures that we'll put in the back of our minds as we go through the story. So God tells us emphatically there in Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11. He says, look, I know the plans that I have for you. So your life is not a planless life in the context of God. God is not just looking at you this morning or on a daily basis to say, okay, let me see how it works out. Okay, maybe now the way this person is behaving, the way this person, your circumstance, okay, maybe this is the plan. No. He said emphatically that he knows the plan he has for you. That means that plan is already laid out. He then goes ahead to qualify that plan. You know, someone can say they have a plan for you, and you're like, man, what plan is that? You know, what plan? What plan really is that? You want to be quite clear. You know, if a criminal, maybe like the mafia don in Italy, rings you up and says, "Or, oh, I got a plan for you," you have to be quite careful with that. All that plan is. Do you get what I mean? So there are different kinds of plans, but God clarifies the plans that he has so that you and I are left without a doubt as to what that plan is. And he goes on and he says, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Now, why would God say plans to prosper you? We know that one. And not to harm you. Why does God have to say, and not to harm you? Well, I suspect that maybe God put that there because as you go through life, as I go through life, you might think God is the one that's causing all your problems, to punish you, to teach you a lesson. Some people say, oh, God is punishing me for this, 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 and this. Apparently, God doesn't punish people. We reap the fruit of our actions sometimes, and the devil sometimes tries to deal with us. So God doesn't have to punish you to make you suffer to teach you a lesson. You teach yourselves, we teach ourselves. We're the ones that put ourselves in the mix. So you do something, you find yourself in a problem. Or maybe you don't even do anything, but the devil does something, puts you in a problem, and you're not like, man, maybe God is punishing me. God says, no, he's not the one punishing you. He's not the one harming you. God is the one that did this. No, God is not the one. No, he's not. The one that, for the believer, that is causing harm to you. You might face difficulties, but God doesn't harm you. And he says to give you hope and a future. So God wants you to have a future that you're looking forward to, a future that excites you, a future that you are looking forward to, not just waking up every day and saying, well, I wish I didn't wake up this morning, you know. I just want to go back to bed. I've had it. God wants you to have a future and a hope. No, a future that is hopeful. So put the scripture at the back of your mind. Then the other one we looked at, which I touched on briefly, John chapter 16, verse 33, where Jesus told his disciples, in this world you will have trouble, but take care, I've overcome the world. So this lays the background of what I want to talk about this morning. On that, this topic saying, how do you carry on in difficult times? Because we face these times once in a while. Some of us more often than the others. So you want to know what to do, how to handle these situations. And the Bible outlines it. So this morning we're going to look at the story of David in the Bible from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. I'm going to read verse 1 to 9. Slightly long read, but I'll just give us a background, right? So David, whom I believe most of us are familiar with, was a warrior in the Bible. David was the one that killed Goliath. He was the one that did all these wonderful things. And at this particular point in the life of David and his men, at this point he had like a group of men that were following him around, about 600 men. They would go war, you know, they're, you know, just going around doing interesting things. But this was a man that was loved by God. And this was a man that was in the will of God. So in this particular season, he and his men went out to war, and they left their wives and their children in a particular city. So say for example, you know, we have like, okay, Bristol is a big city, like fish ponds. So they left their children, their wives in their houses and all that, and they went out to war as they would normally do. Then when David and his men came back, as they were approaching the city where they left their wives and their children, they noticed something horrific happening. They noticed that the whole city was ablaze with fire. Can you imagine? These guys had been at war. They had conquered. They had done all sorts, you know, they had won the war that they were, and they were coming back. Maybe they were saying, oh my goodness, I can't wait to see my wife. I can't wait to see my son. It's been 6 weeks. It's been 2 months. I'm sure my wife will be expecting me now. She'll have cooked, what's that favorite? Well, give me a favorite food there. What you guys like? Fish and chips? Spaghetti bolognese. Is that guy Italian or something? You know, they're cooking my... Oh, I can't wait. My wife's spaghetti bolognese is like, oh, I can smell it from a distance. Oh, I can't wait to see my son. You know, I'm sure he'll have grown like a few inches. I can't wait to put my foot up and watch Arsenal beat Man U again. Or Chelsea, wherever they are on the league. That's the no pun meant, by the way. If you're a Chelsea fan or Arsenal fan, you know, That was just no. And looking forward to that, and they were like, oh, it's been such a long journey. And as they're approaching the city, all the houses, not one or two, on fire. How did they react? Let us look at 1 Samuel chapter 30. I'm going to read verse 1. He says, David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and that their wives and sons and daughters were taken captive. They got there, the city was on fire. They now realize when they entered that their wives, aunties, uncles, children had been taken captive. Where to? No idea. So we look at verse 5. Let me start through again. So when David and his men from 3 reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no more strength to weep. David's two wives had been captured, a Naaman of Jezreel, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Nabal of Carmel. So these warrior men, these people that had won different wars, these people that the Bible calls the mighty men of David, people who, were strong, hard men. When this happened to them, they didn't know what to do. They could have faced anything in this world, but this took them to a point in their lives where they had no answer for it. It's not something that they were used to. And it says, if you go back to verse 4, it says, David and his men wept aloud until they had no more strength left to weep. So they found themselves in a particular scenario where it was hopeless. Where do we start from in this particular matter? Where do we go from here? Our children, our wives, everything that is dear to us is gone. Even David, their leader, was crying with them because they didn't even know what else to do. And anybody that saw them might have been wondering, isn't this David the one that wrote a lot of the Psalms? Isn't this David that says, the Bible says it is after God's own heart? These guys, maybe they've done something wrong somewhere. Maybe their ancestors sinned. And it's the curse of their ancestors that's working on them. They might have thought, they probably would have searched themselves. What have I done wrong? Have I offended God in any way? But I believe in God. Why did this thing happen to me? Why am I going through this in my life at this particular time? Why? And they might have thought about all sorts of things. Maybe they will have been thinking, maybe we shouldn't have even gone to that war. Maybe we should have stayed with our wives and our children. This wouldn't have happened. If we had stayed at home and these enemy people came, we would have faced them up. Why did David, their pastor, you see, Pastor David, you should have just left us at home. All this God is asking us to go up and down and all. If not that we were following, you would have been at home with our children. Why? All these things wouldn't have happened to us. You tell us, come to church, pray, do this. All that time that I've been praying, I'll have been doing something else with my life, maybe going to doing, And all sorts of scenarios will have been going through their mind. Maybe I should have done this. Maybe if I hadn't done this. Maybe if I had made this particular decision. Maybe if I had just done this at this particular time of my life, I wouldn't be in this particular situation. So these guys had a lot of things going on in their minds as well. Should I have done this? Should I have done that? But the thing was this. They were in that circumstance already. Do you understand? They were in it. And they cried and cried and cried and cried. They didn't know what else to do. Grown men. Can you imagine 600 men crying out loud? Because as far as they're concerned, it was all over. It was all over. It was all over. And do you know the interesting thing? What I found a bit interesting, I've read this portion of scripture so many times. As they were crying, as they were complaining. In fact, if you look at verse 5, these guys got so angry, they blamed David. They said, they got to the point, he says, okay, and verse 6, David's two wives had been taken. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord. These guys were so upset. They was like, who is the let, let's Who is the cause of our problems? Is David our pastor? Is God? Because, you know, they were angry at God because, you know, David was one that was representing God to them in terms of pastoring them. So, I'm not going to church again. Never. That we pray, nothing happens. I'm not going again. If Pastor Benson phoned me, I won't pick up his call. But you guys in church, you won't do that though. I'll pick up the call. Then, if he messages me, I've had enough of this. All this church thing. My problems are increasing. All these things. In fact, if I was not in church now, maybe I won't have. You know, these guys were annoyed because they didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to do. It was just like, man, what do we do? So you see the human nature playing out here. You see, so that's why, you know, for me sometimes when people are going through things and I'm talking about me personally, and they react to me in a particular way, or I see them reacting in a particular way that is not exactly who they are, they're annoyed, they're saying all sorts of things, you just step back and you don't take it personal because they're just expressing the humanity in them because they don't know what to do. Do you understand? So, the question here is this. How do we deal with, or how do we carry on in life during difficult times? So that's the topic today, the subtopic of what really matters in life. Bearing in mind that I said that John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, in this life you will have trouble, guaranteed. Guaranteed. So what these guys were experiencing was what Jesus said. And God wasn't surprised. When they were crying, they wanted to stone David, they wanted to kill him, they wanted to blame him. I've seen somebody, I'm going to, you know. What was God doing? God was just looking at all of them. God was just looking at all of them. God was just looking at all of them, crying, accusing David. All sorts of things. God was looking at all of them because, I believe, in the eyes of God, Jeremiah 29:11 was still there. As far as God's concerned, hell can break loose from wherever it wants to break loose from. Life can do whatever it wants to do. As far as God's concerned, for you and I, Jeremiah chapter 29:11 stands. So God will just be looking. Do you understand? So in God's eyes, the plan has not changed. As far as God's concerned, his plans to give you hope and a future has not changed. Irrespective, let hell do whatever it wants to do. Let life do whatever it wants to do. God was looking at them because for him, his plans had not changed for them. And he also told them, as he's told us before in John that we read, 16:33, that in this life you will have trouble. So what they were going through, although quite traumatic to them, in God's eyes, it didn't change anything concerning the plan that he had for them. This is a principle I believe that is hard to swallow, right? But I believe that as we understand this about God, it will help us to go through the challenges that life throws at us. Realizing that irrespective of where you are, irrespective of where I am, irrespective of whatever is going on around us, God's plan for you and I remains the same. Amen. Amen. So God was just looking at them. So it now brings me to something. I mean, this David man, oh man, one of my favorite men in the Bible. But I don't like the one I did to that guy's wife. That part, I don't like that part. But this David man, oh my goodness. One of my favorite people in the Bible. So David is crying with his men. His own family too has been taken. So he's experiencing exactly the same thing that they're experiencing. Do you understand? He's feeling the emotions that they're feeling because it touches him as well. Do you understand? Even though he knows God. You know, someone was telling me, you know, when you're a pastor sometimes, it can be a bit interesting. And this is just by the way. And this pastor friend was telling me that, man, that people, you know, like people come to him with different challenges and all that. And I mean, he's a pastor. He loves that. But he now says that for a lot of the people that come, it's like, pastor cannot have any, in fact, it's like, if he even tries to indicate that, oh, he has challenges, they'd be like, what kind of challenge can you have? Are you not the pastor? Please put your challenge aside. Listen to what I have to say. So it's like, what problem can you have? Please, pastor. Okay. But listen to my own challenge. So it's like, but pastor, you and God are pals, you know. God will, you know. But David felt the same thing that they were feeling as well, with the same level of intensity. So the thing now is this. How do we deal with this kind of situation? How did David deal with it? I'll read further to verse 9, then I'll highlight some points, then this morning we'll pray. So I'll read on from verse 7. Then even though David was crying with all of them, after a while he just said, look, this crying is good. Let's all cry together. We feel the pain. But it's true. He cried with them. Everybody cried. But he realized that, look, I can't keep just, crying is good, by the way. Apparently it helps to relieve stress and stuff like that. But he said, I can't keep crying like this. I need to realize that there's a way that God wants us to deal with this particular thing. Verse 7, it says, then David said to Abital the priest, the son of Amalek, bring me the ephod. Abital brought it to him, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? Pursue them, he answered, you will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. So David pulled himself out. Despite the pain that he was feeling, despite the emotions that he was feeling, despite the distress that he was feeling, he pulled himself out of that and said, what I'm going to do is this. I am going to inquire of God. I'm going to focus on God again, whether I feel like it or not. Whether I feel like praying or not, whether I feel like I'm just going to force myself and I'm going to do this. And he inquired of God. He began to pray to God. He began to tell God, God, look at what's happening with all these things. Look at what is happening. Your word says this, your word says that. What do we do in this particular circumstance? How do we regain hope in this circumstance? And God began to strengthen him. Do you understand? If David had continued crying with those men and he didn't do anything about it, God would have still been looking at him. They would not have gotten anything back. Maybe God would have found a way to help them to realize that's what they should do. But the likelihood is this. They would have been in that situation crying, which is good, by the way. So David does something that I want us to focus on this morning. Then after that, we will pray. Where he said, look, what really matters in this life? He realized that, look, depending on your intelligence and your strength can get you so far. Depending on your knowledge to survive this world is good, but it can get you so far. Because you and I, once in a while, will come to a situation or a circumstance where your intelligence, your knowledge, your foresight, your planning, your everything cannot get the job done. You are stuck. Everybody gets there. But the difference is this. God has already told you you will get there. John 16:33. But he didn't say you will get there and that's the end of it. No. He said he has overcome the world. So what do you do? What do I do? We have to understand and embrace the fact that, look, God is there for us. And we have to embrace our relationship with God even the more in those circumstances. Why? That's what's going to get you and I through. Do you understand? So David calls for the effort. He calls for the priest and says, I want to inquire of God. I want to pray. I want to go back to my relationship with God. I want to press into God. Put all these things aside. So what are the principles that we learn from this, from what David did here, that will also help you and I to go through the challenges of life? Or, even if it's not for you, to help the people around you go through the challenges of their lives as well. I'll highlight five things here this morning. I will just read them out and we will pray. So the first thing is this. Realize that David was faithful to God. David loved God. Acts chapter 13, verse 22, it says, talking about David, when he had removed him, he raised unto them David to be their king, to whom he gave their testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart that will fulfill my will. So the first thing is this, even though you love God, even though you are in the will of God, you will still face trouble. It might not have anything to do with what you've done personally or what your parents or whoever, you know, these things that we hear has done. No, life happens. Life happens to everybody. Number one, that is. Number two, David went through the same emotions that everybody goes through. So if you're hurting because of a circumstance, or if you are experiencing certain emotions, it's normal. It's normal. It is. And it's okay. It is okay. So David wept with his men. So we're looking at how do you deal with this particular these sorts of things. The third thing we see here is this, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the second part. Jesus says, I will never leave you and I will not forsake you. So the third thing we realize is that God has promised not to forsake us. In whatever circumstances we find ourselves, God is there with you and I. Do you understand? God is there. So the first one is this. David hadn't done anything. The second, everybody faces trouble. And everybody, you know, has these emotions. The third is, God says he will never leave us or forsake us. The fourth point is this. David turned to God when he didn't know what to do. Oftentimes, it's easy to just say, look, I've prayed. I've done this, I've done that. God, maybe God's just not answering me. I just need a break from all these things. No. David, at that point in time, realized that I don't need a break from church or from God. This is a time I need to really press into my relationship with God. So the fourth thing was this. David turned to God. We're not told how long it took for him to get to the place where he was confident in God again. But he just kept on irrespective. And the last and final point is this. Realizing that God's plan for us never changes. It doesn't. As it says in Jeremiah 29:11. Then 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7 says, cast all your cares and anxiety on him because he cares for you. Realizing that even as you go through whatever challenge that you go through, or that I go through, God's plan doesn't change. And God wants you to cast your cares on him and not to carry it by yourself. So I'm going to stop there this morning. So what am I saying? We're looking at what really matters in this life. And as a topic for today, we're saying, how do you and I go through difficult times? Because Jesus said, you and I will go through them. And I've said, look, number of things. One, realize that good, challenging times comes to good people as well. You don't have to have done anything wrong. Number two, whatever emotions you feel at that point in time, it's fine. It's just emotions. We also looked at the fact that God says he will not leave us or forsake us. We looked at the point, fourth point, that we turn to God, irrespective. And finally, that God's plan for us doesn't change. And he actually cares about you and I. So as we leave here today, and for the people that will listen to this message, just to encourage us that, look, even in hard times, it's fine. God is still there. We can be joyful in hard times. Hard times don't have to dictate the joy that we have, because Jesus said he has overcome. Amen. So this morning, I would just like us to pray. Don't worry, we can sit this time. And I just want us to pray. And after that, I'll pray for us. I want us to pray that God strengthens you and I. He reminds us of the fact that he's with us, even as we go through life, through the good times and through the times that are not so good. So let's ask God to always remind us of these things that we have heard this morning. Father, we just want to thank you for your kindness and your love. Father, we thank you that you have not just said that we will go through trouble, as you have said in John chapter 16, verse 33. But you have said that even though we go through trouble, we should take heart because you have overcome the world on our behalf. Let's just also pray everything that's causing you distress at this point in time, or maybe causing a member of your family or your friend or whoever, causing them distress. Why don't we just commit those things into God's hands this morning? That God encourage each and every one of us, encourage each and every one of them. Let's ask that God will help us. He will encourage us. That God will encourage you and I. Father, we pray that you will encourage us, our family members, people who are going through distress. Encourage them, O God, in the name of Jesus. Bring a resolution to every distress that everyone is facing. Help them. Let's also pray, then after that I'll pray for us, that God will strengthen every one of us. The Bible says in Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6, that is not by power nor by might, but by God's Spirit. That the Holy Spirit will infuse you and I with strength and with power as we go through life in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. We ask for your strength this morning in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. My Father, my King, even this morning as I have spoken your word to your people, You have said that your word will not come back to you void, but it will accomplish that for which you have sent it. You have told us as a church, CFT Global, Isaiah chapter 55, 11, that you have called this month the month of fulfillment, this November 2025. Lord, I speak concerning your word to us, over the people that are here, and even those that are not here, that are part of us, that are connected to us one way or the other, their family members, everybody around. Lord, I speak fulfillment to every life in the name of Jesus. Everything that has delayed till this point, everything that has been a challenge, it becomes fulfilled this month according to that word in the name of Jesus. Every valley made plain in the name of Jesus. Every mountain leveled before every one of us in the name of Jesus. Father, I speak strength. I speak encouragement and I speak comfort in the name of Jesus. Father, you have said we will call out unto you and you will hear us and you will show us great and mighty things that we did not know. Father, I ask that for everyone that requires knowledge, understanding about whatever it is they're in at the moment, give them understanding. Answer them, O God, in the name of Jesus. Bring understanding to that situation in Jesus' name. Father, we just want to thank you. Father, and I pray. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, your word also says, oh God, to us in Matthew chapter 8, 17, says that you bore our sicknesses and our infirmities. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. By your stripes, you said, we are being healed. Isaiah 53, the chastisement of our peace was upon you. Father, this morning I speak concerning anyone that is ill here or anyone that is connected to us that is ill. I speak healing over your heart, over your body in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.